Hello, everybody. So as you heard that Bible reading, I wonder how you reacted to it. Did you warm to it as tonic to the soul with that reassurance that Jesus opens with? Don't let your hearts be troubled. And how Jesus goes to make your bed up for you in your own room and will return to show you the way to get, like some kind of five-star heavenly hotel with divine porterage. Do you find yourself instead caught in memories of a loved one because that read was included in that funeral service? I wonder, as you react to that reading, does your mind spin out to the mechanics and wonder how many rooms there might be in the Father's mansion? And does Jesus really service all the rooms? And how does that fit with the book of Revelation and that vision of continual worship of thousands upon thousands around the throne, worshipping and enjoying God forever? Are you perhaps with Philip, who just wants to see the Father? Or with Thomas, a bit confused? Show us the way, because we don't know where you're going. So we can't work out the way for ourselves. Maybe you're left wondering about belief and what the even greater things than these are in terms of the works that those who believe in Jesus get to do. And how does that fit with our day-by-day experience of lockdown, of the endless round of food and washing and cleaning and stuff to do, let alone schoolwork and online meetings and all that goes with lockdown? How are any of these greater than what Jesus did? Maybe you're challenged by Jesus' statement, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It is one of those Bible verses that lots of Jesus followers seem to quote. And so what does that say about other faiths? Especially if you chuck in that phrase, no one comes to the Father except through me. It is a bit too definite in a your truth is not my truth kind of world. And then again, lots of Jesus' followers don't always manage to live up to the impact that's ought to have in their lives. Ought to have in my life, ought to have in your life. I mean, if Jesus is the way, then what are we doing trying to find other ways to God? Or perhaps even other ways to be accepted by God? If Jesus is the truth, then how come so many of us make up our own truths about God? Truths that don't align with the God of the Bible, because he's the one that saves us. And if Jesus is the life, then how come we try to find life and vitality so often in our own resources and strengths? Is it just that there's life for the future, or is there also life for the present, for the preparations we find ourselves in on this earth? Now, it might help to put this passage in the wider context of John's Gospel. John is one of the four books of the Bible that retell the story of Jesus' life on earth. John's Gospel, then, Gospel meaning good news, opens with Jesus as the Word becoming flesh. It's a passage we often read at Christmas, and if you were fast this morning, you'd have seen it come up on the screen when I clearly had mistyped the Bible reference into our system. It starts, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. After that, in John's Gospel, there's a focus on Jesus as an adult. How he calls, how he did some miracles, such as turning 600 litres of water into wine, how he fed 5,000 households, how he healed a man born blind, how he raised Lazarus from the dead after 4 days. And two, in John's Gospel, there's a retelling of some of those things that Jesus said, including various I am statements. You know, I'm the bread of life, I'm the water of life, I'm the light of the world. Simply, I am, which very much echoes God saying to Moses at the burning bush, I am who I am. And then here we have, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, in the chapter before ours, so chapter 13, Jesus has, as it were, a Last Supper moment. It's in chapter 13 that Jesus washes the feet of the disciples and prepares them for his betrayal and arrest. That itself comes in chapter 18, after four chapters of Jesus talking and explaining things to his disciples and praying for them. This passage then is the start of what some might call, and some do call, the farewell discourse. So when Jesus starts with, "Do not let your hearts be troubled," that immediately follows after Peter, one of Jesus's main followers, being told, "Would you really lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before that you'll disown me three times." In other words, Jesus has just told them about his impending death and betrayal and the way that all of his followers will run away. And then Jesus is saying, look, it's okay. There's a different time horizon here. We're going to spend eternity together. So don't stress that I'm about to die. You can imagine the disciples sitting there with addled brains at this point. Because don't forget, some of them were rather hoping that, what with Jesus being the saviour and all that, he would actually save them from the occupying Romans. He'd lead a rebellion, he'd restore self-rule. But he's saying that he knows he's going to die and it will be all right in the end. Yeah, sure, whatever you say, Jesus. But actually for us, there can be great comfort in this. Whatever life throws at us, locked down or locked up, sickness or health, no work or too much work, whether life throws at us poverty or riches, isolation or centre of attention, friends or no friends, whatever happens to us in life, we who are followers of Jesus can know for certain that we will spend eternity with God in heaven. To my mind, that's the basis of the peace that God offers us. Peace that the world cannot give. It's a peace that comes when we have certainty over our eternal future. It's a peace that comes as we recognize that God offers to adopt us into his family. And the psalmist says, God places the lonely in families. Knowing that God places his spirit in us as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Now, if you were one of those first apostles in the room with Jesus, you probably wouldn't understand what Jesus was saying either. We, though, have 2,000 years of reflection, of accumulated experience to work with too. Not least the witness of those who have died because they would not give up on their understanding of God. But if we were left only with the pages of a Bible to rely on, however well translated into modern language and way of thinking, if we were left with only the pages of the Bible to rely on, then I too would be amongst the skeptics. Or perhaps better, I too would be amongst those who struggle to make the connection from Bible to lived experience. For me, as I read John's Gospel and see miracles that are impossible to fake, so the raising of a dead person, the feeding of 5,000 households, the creation of 600 litres of wine, the healing of a man born blind, I see them as examples of what it's like when the kingdom of God begins to invade earth. And I can add my own list of miracles that I have seen that have happened when I have prayed for them. I think of the opening of the ears of a deaf girl in India. I think of the old Coleraine whose one leg was lengthened to match the other as we prayed for it to happen. I think of the man in this parish whose recovery to good health began as we prayed for him, but not with him, in church one Sunday morning. I think of the hundreds whose back pain and leg pain have disappeared in the moment we've prayed for them. And some of you are listening in today. Friends, the list just goes on. And I know it's absolutely nothing to do with my righteousness. Just ask my wife and family. It's about the graciousness of God who hears and responds to our prayers and who works through us miracles to perform by the power of the same Spirit working in us that raised Christ from the dead. So I am not left just with the pages of a historic book upon which to base my faith. But I do believe, to quote verse 11 of our reading, on the evidence of the works themselves, which have happened as I lean in to the power of God working in and through me. Perhaps then, the even greater things that Jesus promises that we do is that whilst we are not God and merely servants of God, so the same kinds of things happen in the midst of our human, frail, imperfect lives. And in that comes and works the power of the divine, almighty and perfect God who is at work through us. Whereas in contrast, Jesus being fully God, never sinned. I'm struck this week by a phrase by Pierre Teilhard de Chardin. He's a relatively maverick French Jesuit priest of the early 20th century. We are spiritual beings having a human experience, not human beings having a spiritual experience. So may we all learn to be more in touch as spiritual beings with our Heavenly Father. And here again, the prompting of the Holy Spirit to bring the resources of heaven to the situations we face. No, it won't make the washing up go away or the beds magically made up, but we can ask for miracles of healing and restoration. This is what God's into. He wants us to know for certain that he loves us, that he cares for us, that he's interested in us. And he delights to have opportunity to be invited to bring his kingdom to be on earth as it is in heaven. So I wonder, will you invite God to work his miracles in and through you? Would you be bold enough to ask? If nothing else, think about how your faith will change for the better as you have lived experience of God at work through you. Perhaps then we will know the intimacy implied by Jesus' statement, "If you really knew me, you will know my Father as well." So if lockdown brings you more disposable time, then what better way to use it than to read your Bible to develop a life of prayer? And that has to include listening to what God has to say. But then, of course, you need to do something about what you hear. If lockdown brings you into contact with anyone who needs to get to know Jesus, then I pray that in the words of that old song, you would be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you as you talk with and pray with and for those people. Now, if you're listening in and wondering, then know that all this is on offer for you too. Jesus is the way. That means we need no other route to right relationship with God. So believe in Jesus, place your trust in him. But also know that Jesus is the truth. So learn your truth from Jesus. And what better place to start than what the gospel writers such as John recorded about who he is and what Jesus did on earth. But also remember that Jesus is the life. There is no better tonic for the soul than finding our hope, our meaning, our purpose in Jesus. So do not let your heart be troubled.